Let's open our Bibles this morning. The book of Psalms, chapter 130. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. A little bit more than I thought we'd have today. Being Memorial Weekend, I'm thankful for each of you that were able to come out. Psalms chapter 130, and we're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 8, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our message this morning. It says, out of the depths, Psalms 130, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. With the Lord there's mercy, and with him is plenteous of redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities, all of their iniquities. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for the privilege of preaching and thankful for the fine number you've given us today, Lord, and thankful for the kids next door and the teachers that teach them. We pray your blessings upon this meeting this morning. We pray that you would bring down the Holy Spirit in this service, that your people would be made to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray that you'd anoint these lips of clay, Father, that I'd be able to present this message in an understandable and efficient way. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. If you'll look, I don't know, some Bibles have this in it. They have a little title at the beginning of it. And I'm going to title this message, When You're Down in the Depths. When You're Down in the Depths. And that's what we're going to title this message today. And we're going to be, of course, looking at Psalms 130, which is, of course, what I read. When you're down in the what again? When you're down in the depths. Now, we've always heard when you're down in the dumps, but it's basically meaning the exact same thing. Now, here, I'm going to give you three actions to take when you're down in the depths. You know, sometimes when people get down in the depths, they just don't know what to do. Have you ever been down in the depths before or down in the dumps before? Everybody here in the congregation has at one time or the other. And whenever I get down that way, you know what I want to do? I want to get out of that. I don't want to wallow in that or stay in that. I want to get out of the depths, or I want to get out of the dumps, ever how you want to say it. And what this text does is this shows you how to get out of the depths. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. There's three actions you need to take whenever you're down in the depths. Are you ready for them? I'm going to give you all three at the beginning. That way, if I mess it up, then you'll know exactly what I intended to do. Action number one is you pray. And I'm going to read that to you here in just a little bit. Action number one, when you're down in the depths, the first thing that should bring to your mind when you feel it. You know, when you're down in the depths, you feel it. Y'all agree? You feel it in your mind, you feel it in your heart, which is basically you're talking about the same thing. When you're talking about your heart, you're talking about your mind. When you're down in the depths, it's what you need to do. You pray. That should come immediately to your mind. It never ceases to amaze me how often we can get down in the depths, and at the same time, we don't pray till sometime later. That should be a sign that you need to immediately pray is when you feel it in your heart. Number two, you wait. When you're down in the depths, not only do you pray, but the second thing you do is you wait. And what am I talking about waiting on? Well, you don't do anything when you're down in the depths. You don't make a decision when you're down in the depths. I've made stupid decisions before. I didn't know any other way of saying it. I've made stupid decisions before that if I'd have waited till I was up a bit and thinking straighter, I'd have made a whole lot better decision. All God's people say it. So number two, you wait. Action number one, you pray. Action number two, you wait. And then action number three is you hope. So those are the three actions that you need to take when you're down in the depths. You pray, you wait, and number three, what do you do? You hope. Okay? Well, let's go ahead, now that I introduce what we're going to be doing, let's go ahead and move into our text. The first point, of course, is you pray. That's going to cover really verses 1 through 4. Now, the first thing you do, like I've already said, when you notice that you're down in the depths, do you feel that? Let me ask you a question. When you're down in the depths, do you feel it? You do. It takes over, and it not only takes over your man, but unless you're good at covering it over, usually people can tell when you're down in the depths. Y'all agree? Usually someone that loves you can look at you and they'll, I've had people do it and they'll say, Pastor, are you down? They notice it because, you know, I'm pretty upbeat a lot in a lot of situations, but buddy, a lot of times you can tell if someone's down in the depths. Well, when you feel that, do you feel it when you're down in the depths? Do you feel it? Well, the first thing that should tell you to do, the first thing you need to do is pray. Prayer will bring you out of the depths. Would y'all bear witness with me today? Now, don't raise your hand unless you've done it before. Have you ever been brought out of the depths of despair just by praying? Would you raise your right hand if that's happened? It works, doesn't it? So when you feel it, the first action that you should take when you're down in the depths, that should just right off the bat be like a little alarm. Use it as an alarm. That should be like a little alarm that you need to get alone with Jesus and just spend some time in prayer. And it will help you a whole lot. I want you to turn to Psalms 103. I've memorized verses 1 through 5. And one of the things that I do when I walk out the hall and pray is I pray the first five verses of this verse, or this chapter, I should say. Psalms 103, 1 through 5, I pray that to open my prayer. Now, I want to tell you why I pray this, to open my prayer. It raises my focus up. It reminds me that the thing that I have in my salvation, what I have in my salvation, it reminds me that it's priceless. And it reminds me also that I don't need to be down in the depths. I need to be up here praising the Lord. That's what it does. All God's people said. Now watch these first five verses. Slap me if I preach on them because this is one of my favorite texts to preach from. But I just want to read them. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now the word bless means to praise Him. The psalmist David is calling through the inspiration of the Spirit for God's people to praise the Lord. That's what the word bless the Lord means. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, when he's talking about his soul, this isn't a praise from the lips. This is a praise from the heart. It's a different deal. Sometimes people can praise, but it's only a lip thing. It's really not a heart thing. But this is a heart thing. This is David is speaking through the Holy Spirit, and he's praising the Lord. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. So this is a heartfelt. This is a heartfelt thing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, what's he tell you not to forget in verse 2? Look at it. Forget not what? Forget not what? Don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his benefits. We was on a union committee. We was negotiating a contract. And you know one of the things we was most interested in, don't you? We was interested in benefits. Benefits is important for a worker to have, I believe. Having good benefits. But this right here is the greatest benefit package that's ever been given in this text. And if you're here this morning and you're born again, you have this package. And you should praise God over this package that you have every day. And when I get down into depths, when I pray this text because this text reminds me of how blessed I am. All God's people say it. All right, let's look at it now. Here's what he's done for us. Look at verse 3. Bless the Lord twice. Verses 1 and 2 tells you to bless him. And it says to forget not all his what? Don't forget his benefits. If you forget his benefits, you'll get down in the depths or down in the dumps or sad. If you are here today, and you're down in the mouth, so to speak, and discouraged and depressed, what you need to do if you're born again is you need to focus on this text and look at all the great blessings that you have in Christ Jesus that is listed just here. All right? Number one, here's what he does. Benefit number one. Gosh, I can't preach on it, but I could, but I'm not. He who forgiveth all thine iniquities. He forgiveth how many iniquities? He don't forgive you half of them, does he? I mean, if he only forgave you for half of them, who in the world's going to pay for all the rest of them? He forgiveth all my iniquities. You know what? If I wasn't forgiven for my sins, I would face pain for my sins forever. I'm thankful that I've been forgiven for my sins. When I started serving the Lord, I remember, I'm not going to tell you who it was. Some of you know who I was talking about. I remember an old boy came to me. I guess he got mad because the Lord saved me. You ever see anybody get mad because the Lord saved me? I guess he got mad because the Lord saved me. And he looked at me and he pointed his fist. Well, he did point his fist and his finger in my face. And he said, "You could never be forgiven for all you've done." That's wrong. You can be forgiven for what you've done. And that's what the Lord did. And I'm thankful that I've been forgiven for all my iniquities, all of them. He's put my sins as far as the east is from the west, and the east and the west never meet. That's the same way of saying that he puts them completely away forever. Are y'all thankful for that? When you get down in the depths, you need to remind yourself that you have been forgiven for your iniquities. And that's something to thank God for every day. If I wasn't forgiven for my iniquities, I would die in my sin. I'm not worried about dying in my sin because I've been forgiven for my iniquities. And I'm thankful for that. Are you? Put a price tag on that thing. He's forgiven us for all of our iniquities. Now, since he's healed all of our diseases, I don't know how many times I've been healed in my life. I look back over my life, I don't know how many different times that the Lord has healed me, and I'm sure you've been healed many times through medicine, through surgeries, through the Lord just touching you in a mighty way. I don't know how many times. But ultimately, one of these days, I'm going to get a new body that's never going to get sick, that's not going to age, that's not going to sin, and it's not going to die. All God's people say it. That's a great benefit. I think about that constantly. I don't know when Jesus was coming. He could come before our service is over. I know we're in the last days, and I know we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. But old Jeff Arthur has got a new body coming, and I'm going to get a body that's not going to age, get sick, or die. That's a great benefit. I can't imagine not ever sinning. The great thing about salvation or getting a new body for me, not only is it that I won't get sick, but another great blessing is the great benefits that come along with it. I'm never going to age. I'm never going to get sick. And I'm never going to die. Let's move on. Number three. Here's the third thing I pray. See, what automatically, now I've just give you two benefits that's listed in this text, right? We talked about forgiveness of sins, and we talked about how the Lord heals our diseases. And just those two, what's that done for you so far? It's already started to raise your focus up. Did you notice it? This is what the Lord's done for us, and that's just two of them. That's why I pray it. When you get down in the depths, you got to remind yourself of what you have in the Lord. And notice what the next one is. It says he redeems your life from destruction. Redemption, is that a reason to praise the Lord? I'm redeemed. I've been set free from the bondage of my sin debt. If it hadn't been for the Lord, I would be under a sin curse. But I've been set free from my sin curse, and now I'm free. I'm free from the fear of the morrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. Think about it. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. Praise the Lord. Free at last. Isn't that a glorious thing? I pray that. See, that's three right there. When you get down in the depths and you remind yourself of those three blessings right there, that should raise you up. You're forgetting what all you have in Jesus. That's why this text says, forget not all his benefits. Don't forget them. Let me give you another one. It says, he crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. You know, his loving kindnesses and tender mercies, you can't count them. I don't think we can't count them. That's the only thing I can say. His loving kindnesses and his tender mercies towards us as his children is innumerable. I can't count all the good things God does for me. Can you count all the good things God does for you? And he does things for you that you don't even know about that's great. And many times that you even overlook that is great. What else does he do in verse 5? It says he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the morning. Well, what a blessing these things are. When you get down in the depths, what do you do? What's the first thing you do? The first thing you do is you pray. And when you pray, you remind yourself of the benefits that's listed here in Psalms 103. Now, I got other ones I pray, but I got these five verses memorized. And when I feel this, when I feel it in my heart and I get down in the depths, that's like a siren that goes off in my mind. Jeff, get out there and pray. Turn to Psalms 103. Of course, I don't have to do it now, but I know all those verses. And I remind myself of how benefited I am with the benefit package that Jesus gave me when he saved my soul. All God's people said. Action number one, you need to pray. You need to pray. Now, let's go to action number two. Let's go back to our text. Psalms 130. What's the message title? What do you do when you're down in the depths? Of course, there was a man in the Bible that was literally down in the depths. Y'all remember who he was? Was there a man in the Bible that was literally down in the depths? Jonah. Jonah got swallowed by a great fish, didn't he? And he was down in the depths. So you can read about that in the book of Jonah chapter 2. He was down in the depths. Does anybody know why Jonah got down in the depths? Somebody tell me. He sinned. He was a prophet, and God told him to go to Nineveh and preach, which was the capital of Assyria. He didn't want to go to Assyria because he realized Assyria was the enemies of Israel. He wanted God to judge him. But God said, you go to Nineveh. He worked for the Lord. And you know what Jonah did? He went the opposite way. He wanted God to judge him. Well, what ended up happening is he got swallowed by a great fish, didn't he? And he was down in the what? He got down in the depths. I mean, he was so hardened in not going to Nineveh, he would rather, remember, he got on a boat that was going in the opposite way, remember? And he said, they was praying to all their false gods, and he said, Jonah, pray to your God. He said, this storm is because of me. You throw me overboard, and the storm will stop. And it did. Once he got swallowed up. Can you imagine getting swallowed by a fish? I bet that's pretty tight quarters in there, don't you imagine? It must have been an air pocket in there that kept him alive, too. God preserved his life. But when he was down in the depths, you talk about somebody in some pretty dire straits he was. What did he do finally? What did he do to get out of the depths? What did Jonah do to get out of the depths? He prayed, didn't he? What's going to get you out of the depths? You pray. You pray. You pray your benefit package. You remember what all you have in him. So your first action to take, first action, not last action, first action. When you feel it, go to Psalms, go to the text they give you, 103, 125, and you pray those benefits. And that'll raise your focus up almost immediately if you'll do it. You need to constantly remind yourself of what you have in God. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But if we don't have the joy, do you notice how weak you are when you don't have the joy of the Lord in your heart? Makes you strong when you have the joy of the Lord. Number two, back to Psalms 130. Action number two is you wait. I hate to wait. Don't you? I want action immediately. But notice what it says in verse 5. It says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. My soul, there you have it again, waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Listen to me now. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit. Wait. Sometimes we think we got to move real quick to rectify something. Sometimes we need to, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we move too fast. Sometimes we give up too fast, y'all think? Sometimes we give in too quick. Sometimes we quit too quick. We quit too fast. Sometimes we do that too. God wants you to do what? Wait. Wait. Who are we waiting on? Waiting on the Lord. That's what it says in Psalms 27. Psalms 27. This is in a couple places in the Bible. It tells you to wait. We always think we got to sometimes move and do something. Sometimes the best things you can do is wait. Wait on the Lord. That's what he says in verse 13 of Psalms 27. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I mean, he was in bad straits here. And he says, wait on the Lord. Now, I want you to hear this. This is a promise. Wait on the Lord. Don't do something that you shouldn't do. Wait. There's times that I wanted to do things, and I didn't do them. I decided to wait on the Lord. And once I got there, I seen that if I'd have moved, it would have been a disaster. You wait. You wait till the Lord moves you. That's the most important thing you can do. Notice what it says. I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good what? Courage. Wait on Him. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. He'll strengthen your what? Hey, do you need your heart strengthened this morning? Do you need your heart strengthened? Who does that for you? Well, the Lord does. But what do you have to do in verse 14? What's it tell you to do? Wait. Wait. Don't run off in a situation where you're not ready to do things. Wait. Wait on Him. Let Him direct your path. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Can I ask you a question this morning, beloved? Has the Lord ever strengthened your heart? Has the Lord ever strengthened your heart? How does He do it? Well, sometimes He does it through prayer. Sometimes He does it through coming to God's house. This message may be for somebody here this morning. Now, if it ain't for you here this morning, it'll be for you sometime. Because at one time or the other, we all need to be strengthened. At one time or the other, every one of us will be in the depths at one time or one point or the other. And we need to be raised up out of it. All God's people say it. And this is how it happens. The first thing you do when you feel it, what do you do? What's the first thing you do when you feel it? You pray. You pray that benefit package in Psalms 103. It'll help you. What's the second thing you do? You wait. You wait, wait. Wait till you, hey, listen to me. Wait till you calm down. Have you ever heard anybody tell you that? Have you ever done anything completely silly because you wasn't calmed down? Remember I told you about the truck driver that used to work, Dad should remember it anyhow. We and him worked together a little bit, but there was a fella that he would always work on his trucks, and he was working on one of the tires in it, and he pulled the wrench a certain way, and it hit him in the, you know how it is when you hit your hand. Hit him in the hand, and you know what he did? If he would have just waited, but he didn't wait. Y'all know what he did? They were working by the Kanawha River, and he picked it up and threw it out in the middle of the river. In about 5 seconds, he wished he'd have waited because it was the only wrench that fitted that particular nut, which made him feel like a nut. Think about it. He wished he would have done what? Have you ever done foolishly because you never waited? Wait. Wait. Wait on the Lord. That's what He's telling you to do. And at times, that's exactly what we need to do. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah 40. This is a pretty famous text. I'm going to give it to you anyhow. I'm almost done. That's my 5 to 10 minute warning there. Isaiah chapter 40. Now, this is a great text. Again, it does the same thing as the other text. It tells you to wait. Are you ready? It said, "Hast thou not known?" This is Isaiah 40. If you don't got this marked in your Bible, you ought to mark it. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary." He's got time for you. He don't get tired of you coming to him. He wants to hear from you. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary, neither is searching of his understanding." He gives power to the what? Those that are fainting. "And to them that have no might," what does he do? "He will increase your strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that do what again?
Wait
upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." All God's people said. But you got to do what? To mount up with wings of eagles and to walk and not faint. What do you got to do then? You got to wait. You got to wait on the Lord, and he'll strengthen your heart. God will do her. He'll renew your strength, and he will strengthen your heart. Well, when you're down in the depths, you pray. And number two, what do? You wait. You wait on him. You don't give up. You don't quit. You don't give in. You do what? You wait. You wait. And what will the Lord do for you? He will strengthen your heart. He will strengthen your heart. Have you ever had God strengthen your heart? It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing when God strengthens your heart. I can't count the number of times in my ministry, and I've ministered a good while now, I can't number the times that God has strengthened my heart. I surely would have quit many times in 38 years or whatever it is if it hadn't been for God strengthening my heart. All God's people said, he will strengthen your heart. He will, he can, and many of us need it. Everybody needs it at one time or the other. Okay? All right, let's go back to our text. Psalms chapter 130. I hope you're enjoying it, but whether you're enjoying it or not, it's needed, I think. It's a great text of Scripture. Let's read on down through. Let's start verse 1 again, work our way down, almost done. "Out of the depths I've cried." See, he was in the depths. He was down in the what? Depths. What did he do? What did he do to help himself? Well, the first thing he did was he prayed. That's a great privilege that he had. The first thing he did was he prayed. The second thing he did was he waited. He didn't go off making decisions when he wasn't ready to make them. His right mind, anyhow, okay? All right, the third one down is down verse 7. Let's go ahead and move down to verse 7. It says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord." Let Israel do what? Let him hope in the Lord. "With the Lord is mercy, and with him is plenteous of redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." There's hope in the Lord. Hope in him. We got good hope in him. We got great promises. The name of our radio broadcast out of the book of 2 Thessalonians is "Good Hope Through Grace." We have good hope. It says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord." And you could put your name there if you'd like. Let Jeff hope in the Lord. Let Eddie hope in the Lord. Let Hollis hope in the Lord. We all should put our name there. God can give you hope. And God can give you encouragement. And he does that in many different kinds of ways. God has given us some great and precious promises, and we talk a lot about them. I'm going to give you two. Number one, two great and precious promises. God has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. All God's people say it. You'll never face anything by yourself. When you go through that big silver, that's the loneliest time for me so far. Anyway, when they take you through that big silver door and they're taking you back to have a surgery, and, you know, your doctor looks at your wife, kiss him. He's getting ready to go back. Like you're going to die or something, you know. That's the loneliest. Hey, but he goes through the silver door with you. Y'all agree? You're never by yourself. When we come down, there's going to be a day, if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, everybody here is going to die. Y'all agree with that too? But when we go through death, God's children never die alone. God will be with you even in death. He'll take you right through there. He'll be right there with you. When I pass, go through the valley of the shadow of death, what does it say? I won't fear no evil. Why? You're with me. He goes with you even through death. He will always be with you. Isn't that a comforting thought? You hope in your promises. You don't forget your promises. I'm not by myself. I'm never by myself. Jesus is with me. That's all over the book. That's all over the book. Hebrews 13:5, Joshua 1:9. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I will be with thee. Be not afraid, I am thy God. I'll help thee, I'll strengthen thee, and I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He reminds you, when he wanted to comfort an excited saint, you know what he told him? I'll be with you. That's all you need. All God's people say it. I'll be with you. Whatever you go through, I'll be with you. That's a great promise. I don't face anything alone. Marcy used to sing a song that said, how can I be lonely? How could I be lonely? I'm not alone. How could I be lonely? Okay? So you hope. You put your hope in God. You put your hope in His promises. I give you one promise so far. He'll never leave nor forsake you. What's the next promise? You know what my next promise is going to be. I always use it, Romans 8:28. For we... Oh, I wanted everybody to jump on that one. What was you add on that in Sexton? Y'all ready? For we know that all things work together for the good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, how many in the house believes that? Raise your right hand. Now, we don't always live that, though. We pick and choose. Well, we do. It doesn't say some things works together for the good. We live in victory when we're born again if we choose to do so. There's a lot of things that's happened in my life over the years that I don't like. And there's a lot of things that happen even today that I don't like. But I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose, that's an absolute promise. Now, there's sometimes some people will come to their pastor and they say, well, now how in the world do you explain this one to me? How could this be for the good? I don't know. I'm not in charge of that. All I know is what God promises always is true. Oh, God's people said, it's always true. It's going to work together for the good. That helps me, just that helps me. I can look at a situation that doesn't make no sense to me. Let me talk about my pop just here a little bit. He's had that good pasture syndrome. That's why I asked to have dialysis. Mama, how long has he had dialysis? 8 years. 8 years he's had dialysis. Always has been one of the most faithful men in his church. Everybody knows that. Why did he get good pasture syndrome? Why did the most faithful man in the church get good pasture syndrome? Why did the Lord do that? Well, the Lord didn't do it, the devil did. He can't do anything unless it's okay by the Lord when it comes to do with His sheep. Y'all agree? Here's what we believe. We believe that God had a purpose for it. Now, I don't know what it is, but one purpose I know It's one thing for me to be faithful. It's another thing when a man takes dialysis 3 times a week and never misses a church service. All God's people said. That's an amazing thing right there. 3 times a week. Do you see him? Oh, 4 times. I forgot about Sunday school. He's here at all 4 services. He has dialysis on Saturday, Thursday, and Tuesday. 3.5 hours at a shot. And he's done that for 8 years. And God has held him up through all of that. It's not his own strength. It's God's strength in his life. God has given him the ability to withstand that. Sometimes he'll take a disease or an affliction away. At other times, he'll give you the strength to hold up. Apostle Paul was given a thorn in his flesh, wasn't he? And he asked the Lord 3 times to take it away. Do you know what God said? Somebody tell me what God said. No. He says, you need it. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, I'm going to leave this affliction on you because it's going to have a purpose. It's going to keep you humble for one thing. But instead of taking away, I'm going to give you the grace to hold up under this thing. That's what he's did with my pop. And everybody in this church service sees that and has seen that for 8 years. All God's people said. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Grace to hold up under it. Sometimes he removes it. Sometimes he don't. And for what he don't remove, he'll provide you sufficient grace to hold up. All God's people say it. I believe it. We live it. We trust it. Yeah. We believe in God's sovereignty. We believe God's sovereign in all things, not only in salvation, but we believe he's sovereign in our lives. And I believe Romans 8:28. Do you? And when things happen in my life that I don't understand, you know what I do with that? I throw it under Romans 8:28. And when somebody says, well, how could that be for the good? I don't know. I just trust the Lord. That's what he said in Romans 8:28. And it lifts me up. It makes sense out of senseless sometimes. I just know God's got it. All God's people see it. God's got it. God's got it. Well, I'm going to stop. I've done went way too long. I wasn't planning on preaching that long. Perhaps somebody here today needed that message. 3 actions to take when you're down in the depths. You pray. You wait. Don't do anything silly. I've done things silly before without waiting. Wait on the Lord to strengthen you, see? And then you hope. You put your hope in his promises. I give you 2 promises. Remember, he's with you. And remember, he works all things for the good to them that... Now, this promise isn't for everybody. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's limited to God's people. If you're here today and you're a lost person, I'd love to see you saved. I'd literally love to see you saved and trust Jesus. I don't know what in the world you're waiting on. Some of you know what I'm telling you is true. You believe in God, you believe in heaven and hell, but you're just gambling with your soul every breath that you take that there'll be another day for you. I'm going to ask you to trust Jesus today. I'm not going to fool with you today. I'm just going to get right to the point. Why don't you trust Jesus today? What in the world are you waiting on? Waiting to see a light? I'm looking 3. He don't give you that. He gives you his word and he asks you by faith to accept it. Won't you trust the Lord Jesus today? I'm going to go ahead and go to the back. If you come up in the front, I'll come up and talk to you about the Lord. If you want me to pray with you, I'll come up and we'll pray together. But my, we got glorious benefits.